be strengthened is to be endued with greater ability and power to do. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. You know, if we are to make room for God in our lives, it will require both an outworking and an inworking for balanced spiritual growth. And so Luke tells us that after spending some time in Antioch, Paul went back through Galatia and Phrygia, visiting and strengthening all the believers. To be strengthened is to be endued with greater ability and power to do. With more, here's Kenneth with part 3 of Make Room for God.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be with you again to spend some time on the Word of God. This is the third part of our series called Make Room for God. And the seed idea and the theme was taken from Isaiah 54, verse 2, where it says, "Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." We have touched in the first two parts, focusing on what it means to lengthen your cords. That is the dimension of enlargement, going for coverage and breadth in our spiritual growth and expansion. And for the third and the fourth parts, today and tomorrow, I'm going to move on to deal with the second part, which is strengthening your stakes. And this has to do with edification or building up. And in particular, the dimension of building deep, going for depth and for anchorage. And just like we need to row with both oars if we are going to make steady and straight progress, when we are traveling on a boat or a canoe, so likewise, we need to use both the oars of enlargement as well as edification. We need both lengthening as well as strengthening. If we only use just one oar, what will happen? We'll just simply go around in circles. And if we rest on the oars, we will either be stationary or we'll simply drift with the current. So let's take both oars in order to move out as well as to move on. We need both a working out as well as a working in. We need breadth as well as depth in our spiritual lives. This second section that we are going to deal with today and tomorrow is about edification or building up. And these things normally take place out of sight. In fact, it often happens when we are apparently laid aside. And those are the times when the roots sink deep. It happens in times of drought, when there's no ready supply of water on the surface and we're forced to dig deeper. Just as the case for lengthening the cords, we have made use of three spiritual cords as metaphors. So likewise, for strengthening your stakes, I'm going to consider three spiritual stakes as a metaphor. These three spiritual stakes represent spheres of spiritual life where we should strike deeper and where we need to be strengthened. And we're going to take them from Paul's three prison epistles to the churches, and they are Philippians, Ephesians, and Colossians. They are sometimes referred to as his prison epistles because they were written from his first Roman imprisonment, which probably accounts for the reason why they are such glorious nuggets of spiritual gold set in very compact form, because they were forged in the fires of the furnace of affliction while he was in prison. From a human standpoint, we get the idea that the prison is the place where we become weakened and emaciated. We lose weight because we lose hope and a sense of purpose. But not so for Paul. He was empowered when he was imprisoned. And herein lies a spiritual pattern and principle for us all. Sometimes the greatest spiritual strengthening and strides are made while we are seemingly constrained by circumstances which seem to imprison us for the time. And this is why we see that the primary driving motivation for Paul in all his ministry is towards strengthening the disciples and the churches. We read in Acts chapter 18, verse 23, when Paul had completed his second missionary journey and had hardly settled down, when he began to embark on his third missionary journey. In verse 23 of Acts 18, it says, after he had spent some time there, that is in Syrian Antioch, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order. And what did he do? What was his purpose in going over the same grounds where he had pioneered churches before? And it's this last phrase, notice in verse 23, strengthening all the disciples. He wasn't just content to have pioneered and founded some churches and planted them on his previous missionary journeys. He was jealous for their spiritual well-being and zealous to ensure that they were well established by being strengthened as disciples. He wasn't just going to take it for granted that they will automatically grow to be strong churches and disciples. He knew from his own personal experience the great importance of making room for God to work in our own lives, to lengthen our cords and to strengthen our stakes, to be both spiritually enlarged as well as to be edified. And to be strengthened simply means to be endued with an even greater ability and power to do than what we have known up to this point in time. Let me now lay out these three spiritual stakes that I will be dealing with. The first may be called the interior life, and this has to do with our being. And the main way we do this is by the Holy Spirit. The second stake is the exterior life, and this has to do mainly with our doing, and we do this through Christ. And then the third spiritual stake may be called the superior life, and this has mainly to do with our thinking, and the way we do it is to the Father. So that's the broad outline and the big picture. So let's begin now with the first spiritual stake, the interior life, about our being, and it's by the Holy Spirit. And for this, we're going to look at the first prison epistle of Paul in the letter to the Ephesians. We're going into Ephesians chapter 3. And let me read from verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened, that's our word here, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So there we have encapsulated for us in Ephesians 3:16 what we are dealing with here. It's about the interior life, it's about the inner man. It's about our being, and it's through or by his Holy Spirit. That's how we're to be strengthened in our being. Reading on in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I just had to read the rest of those verses to complete that glorious and wonderful statement. It's just like if you have a really nice dish of food, you don't want to just leave it unfinished. I want you to notice, first of all, this phrase in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. And you get a very similar kind of phrasing in verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, and here's that similar phrase, according to the power that works in us. Verse 21, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So it's according to the riches of God's glory, and it's according to the power of God that's working in us. According to means to be in line with, to be aligned with. It is the quality, not the quantity, that matters most, because quantity becomes irrelevant when it's measured against God's inexhaustible supply. As it says in verse 20, him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Those terms are doubly superlative. It's not only abundantly, but exceedingly abundantly. So focus on the quality according to him, and the quantity will take care of itself. And also note, by the way, what will be a recurrent reference to God's glory in all the verses that we'll be considering later on. He strengthens us for this purpose, for His glory and according to His glory. This is why He does it, and this is how He does it. Why does He strengthen us? It's for His glory. How does He strengthen us? It's according to His glory. And therefore, it can be like what it says in Ephesians 3:16, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. To be strengthened with might suggests that we are enabled. We are empowered. We don't just have the ability to do, but we are able to do it with might or with strength. We might ask, from where does this kind of divine strength and empowerment come from? Well, it lies here. When I'm unable, then I am enabled. And this is the apparently paradoxical way in which the Apostle Paul puts it in describing his own experience. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he puts it this way in verses 9 and 10. And the Lord said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake." And here is this summary statement. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." And this runs directly counter to what human wisdom and strength go for. It seems a contradiction of terms. It doesn't gel. How can I be strong when I'm weak? What he's really saying is, when I'm utterly weak in myself, then only can I be strong in God. The critical and vital difference is in the source and the basis of strength. We have read just now in Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly." What it's really saying is, He is able. That is, God is able. God is able when I am unable. This is not just being strengthened in the sense of feeling better or restored, but being strengthened with might, which is something far more than my own natural and normal strength. So that's what strengthened with might means in Ephesians 3:16. Let me take that next little phrase in Ephesians 3:16. To be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. How do we get strengthened this way? It's through or by the Holy Spirit. A Christian is one who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's your spiritual birthright. A Christian is regenerated or born again from above by the Holy Spirit and filled. And he's regularly renewed and refreshed in the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is always with him and in him. He abides or remains and resides in the believer's life. What makes the believer holy and spiritual is the Holy Spirit. The author James Stewart said that partnership with the Holy Spirit is the secret of success in multiplying converts. Just as we have been born again by the Holy Spirit, we should continually remind ourselves and recognize that it's the Holy Spirit alone who can convict and convert others. The contemporary theologian J.I. Packer said that the Holy Spirit is institutionalized the moment God's people, on whatever grounds, allow themselves to assume that their own current practice is a guaranteed vehicle of His presence and power. This is a stern and strong reminder for us not to cage the Holy Spirit by trying to harness and then to preserve that power which we have seen at work in our midst before. The Holy Spirit, remember, is primarily a person. He's the third person of the Godhead and not just a power or a mere force or influence. The promise in God's word is that the Holy Spirit will abide or remain in us. He will not leave us, and we do not have to artificially contrive to hold Him or to put Him in a cage. Thinking that what has worked for us in the past will always work in the same way for the future. It's the one who is working rather than the way in which it is actually outworked. That should be our constant focus of attention. Therefore, it says in Ephesians 3:16 again, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit. And the last phrase of that glorious verse is in the inner man. And that speaks of our interior life. We are strengthened by the Spirit inwardly, so as to glorify God outwardly. It is not fleshy and it is not fleshly. The work or the process is not done to show other people. The effects are. And it does not come by the exertion of my own effort or determination. It comes by cooperating with where the Spirit of God leads and directs me and making room for Him to work. You can say that there is a hiddenness in the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our interior life. And it happens away from the glare of the public eye, so that no man would boast. It's very hard for God to work out these deep things in our lives when we are conscious of ourselves or of other people looking at us. The only place of God consciousness is when we are out of the public eye. And you will find that this is what accounts for the manifest spiritual power of somebody who exudes the presence and the power of God. It comes from something deep which God has done within that person. You may not be able to see what is it, but you can tell the great difference it makes from the external effects of that life. Let me take you to a couple of scriptural examples of this process happening. We have no better model than first to look at the life of Jesus. Remember Jesus' 40 days of temptation by the devil in the wilderness. We read about that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Let me read to you from verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Notice that it was not because he was low in the Spirit or that the Spirit had left him, but because he was filled with the Holy Spirit and that he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for this temptation. And at the end of this episode, notice again the continuing dominance of the Holy Spirit. In verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. So it's all by the work of the Holy Spirit in our interior lives. Now, we do not normally think of the desert or a wilderness experience as a scene of spiritual empowerment, do we? But that's the spiritual scene in which God brings us aside to so that He can prove us and do this strengthening and deepening work in us. And this is often done as a prelude or preparation to the inauguration or inception of a next phase of public ministry, as it was for Jesus at the commencement of His public ministry. And we see a very similar pattern to this in the life of Moses, when he spent the middle 40 years of his lifespan of 120 years on the backside of the desert in Midian. These 40 long, quiet years of obscurity in the middle of nowhere were the times when God worked deeply to prepare Moses for the big burden of public ministry that yet lay ahead. And it was done when he was all alone with God in the deserts, away from the glare and the distractions of public life. Or think of another Old Testament example of Elijah, where he spent 40 days and 40 nights of retreating and running away from the threat of Ahab and his wife Jezebel, which was very hard to imagine and reconcile when we have just read about the epic showdown that he had with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, which we read about in 1 Kings chapter 19. But it was during those 40 days and nights when he was all alone with God again in the deserts that he was inwardly renewed and strengthened for the next stage of ministry. It's not a one-off experience. Go back to an earlier period in his life when Elijah spent some 3 years in refuge during the famine at a place called Kerith at first and then later in Zarephath. And we read about those hidden years in 1 Kings chapter 17. God cared for, looked after, and provided for him during those years of hiding, which made him the bold and courageous prophet that he was in a way that no human eye could see or human mind could understand. And finally, look at the example of the great apostle Paul in the New Testament. We're told he spent some hidden years in Arabia, not long after his conversion. And we read about this in Galatians chapter 1, which is one of the places in the New Testament which gives us a glimpse into Paul's life in different periods. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 17, Paul says that, "I did not go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter." So Paul too had his hidden 3 years, which were not wasted years when he was apparently out of sight in obscurity, but they were precious years in which God did much excavation underground and made sure the foundation was strong. In your personal spiritual history, do you have an Arabia? Where is your Kerith or Zarephath or your desert where you were tested, approved, and strengthened by the Spirit to go on to the next level and the next lap of life? If you find yourself out in the wilderness for a time, don't dissipate yourself or your energies by just waiting for something to happen, but realize that this is a season of being strengthened by the Spirit. And especially for those who find themselves there right now, I trust this has been a time of refreshing by God's presence and that you would have been reached by His strengthening word.
We are strengthened by the Spirit inwardly, so as to glorify God outwardly. And this is what accounts for the manifest spiritual power of someone who exudes the presence and the power of God. Thank you, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow for part 4 of Make Room for God. You know, we always enjoy hearing from you, and just to thank you, we'd like to give you a gift. Last week, guest speaker Gary Weeks graciously made his CD called Eternity available to us for you. And Kenneth would like to extend that offer for another week, so you can get your free Gary Weeks CD simply by contacting us via SMS. The number is 94313813. Or by sending an email to info@timesofrefreshing.asia, or by writing to Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road, Post Office, Singapore, 915714. Just give us your name and address, and we'll get the CD Eternity to you as a thank you from us. It will be on a first-come, first-served basis. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.